to our Creator. Grace is the cornerstone of our Christian walk, upon which our faith is built upon. Charles Spurgeon once said that grace puts its hand on the boasting mouth and it shuts it once and for all. Indeed, grace humbles us, it silences us, it silences our pride, and it reminds us that we are not the authors of our salvation. Instead, grace is a gift, it's a precious gift that is freely given to us by a loving God. If you are able, if you will stand with me for the reading of the Word, we're going to be looking at a couple of different passages here. I would first like to start with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it is a gift of God." Then I'm going to go down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." And one final verse before we pray, John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace, which we know is new every morning. Lord, we pray for the understanding and the wisdom this morning to comprehend the depth of your grace, your power, and our responsibility, God, to not abuse your grace. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning, God. Let it transform us that we would never be the same. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. These verses are a profound reminder of God's unmerited favor that he has for us. It's a beacon of hope, if you will, a testament of God's unfailing love that he has for us. It's a declaration of our salvation. We are saved not by our works, but not by our righteousness, but we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at some statistics this morning. Knowing that God's grace is powerful, just to put into perspective, every day the average number of people who are added to the body of Christ is 174,000. 3,500 churches are opening every week. Every month, 15,000 people in India are baptized as new believers in Jesus Christ. 6 new churches open every day in South Korea, and it's the site of one of the world's largest churches with more than 800,000 members. In a 6-year period, Indonesia, which is the world's largest Muslim country, had 2 million Muslims come to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. In China, the Protestant community since 1949 estimates that the number has went from 700,000 Protestants in 1949 to over 38 million in 2018. Professor Yang, who is a leading expert on religion in China, believes that the number will swell to 160 million in the next couple of years. To what credit do we owe this growth to the kingdom of God? We have to realize that these are places of intense persecution, limited resources. They're in hostile situations. But we must be reminded of Colossians 1, 6, where it tells us that all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing. Just as it has been doing among us today, God's grace will stay in truth. The gospel bears fruit. It grows all over the world when people hear and understand God's truth and his faithfulness. This morning, we're going to be looking at 3 points. First, we're going to try to grasp the gift of grace. We will seek to understand and appreciate what God has told us in his scripture, to cherish the divine favor that God has given upon us. We will help us to guard against ungratefulness. And we will ensure this morning that our hearts will not be hardened because of the grace that we've been given. It will let it shape us, let it mold us, let it penetrate our hearts this morning. In the heart of the gospel, we find a treasure of immeasurable worth. It's not a treasure that we've earned or a prize that we've won. But this thing called grace is a gift that's freely given, yet priceless beyond measure. The gift that we've been given of grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's the love of the Creator reaching out to His creation, not because of what we've done, but because of who He is. It's the divine hand of mercy extended to us, not because we deserve it, but because God is merciful. You see, grace is much like a father who forgives his wayward son, not because his son earned his forgiveness, but because the father's love is greater than the son's mistakes. It's like the king who pardons a guilty prisoner, not because the prisoner has paid the debt, but because the king's mercy is greater than the prisoner's crime. This, in a nutshell, is what grace is. But how do we grasp this gift of grace? How do we hold on to this divine favor that God has given to us? You see, first of all, before we receive this, we need to understand our need for grace. We are all sinners, fallen short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. We have all strayed from the path. We have all turned our own way. But God, in His infinite mercy, reaches out to us with His grace. He doesn't wait for us to clean up our act or to get our lives together. He meets us exactly where we are, in our mess, in our brokenness, in our sin, and He offers grace. We need to receive this gift of grace. It's not enough to simply recognize our need for grace, but we need to embrace this gift of grace. We need to let go of our pride, our self-righteousness, our self-sufficiency. We need to admit our weaknesses, our inability that we have to save ourselves. Grace, you see, is not just for the moment when you accept Jesus Christ through salvation. It's for every single moment of our lives. It's for the times when we stumble and we fall, when we make mistakes, and guess what? We're going to fail. It's for the times when we're weak, when we're afraid, when we're weary. In all these times and all the times in between, we need to rely on God's grace. As recipients of God's grace, we are called to be the conducts of His grace. We are called to extend grace to others, just as God has extended His grace to us. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, to show mercy as we have been shown mercy. We are called to reflect God's grace in our words, in our actions, and in our lives. Let us recognize this need that we have for God's grace, to receive it with open hearts. Let us rely on grace for every moment of our lives, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And it's not from ourselves. It's God's gift to us. We find ourselves many times standing in a crucial juncture in our faith journey. You see, once we get the gift of grace, we often take that gift and we don't rely on it. We abuse God's grace. But we must understand that we have a responsibility, a duty, a calling. A calling to guard against ungratefulness that we have, to ensure that our hearts do not become hardened and that we do not take for granted this precious gift of grace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we are instructed to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for our lives, is to be thankful regardless of our circumstances. And you may say, well, I'm going through this and that. The answer to all things and all of our understanding and our circumstances do not define us. Our response to our circumstances, however, should always be one of gratitude, not because of what we're going through, but because of the one who is going through that situation with us. Next is to constantly remind ourselves of the cost of grace. You see, grace was not something that was given to us freely. It is given to us freely, but ultimately was paid with a price. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates His love for us, and that when while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The cost of grace, you see, was God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we could receive the gift of grace. It's a gift that cost Him absolutely everything. When we remind ourselves, it becomes impossible to take grace for granted when we realize that Jesus paid it all. The third aspect that we must have of guarding against ungratefulness is to live out our gratitude. James chapter 2, verse 17 tells us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Our gratitude should not just be mere words that we say, but it should be actions. We should live out our gratitude in our daily lives, in the way that we treat others, in the way that we serve others, in the way that we love others. Our life should be a living testimony of the gift of grace that God has given us. If we take a look at the Greek word for grace, it means charis, which is used 156 times in the New Testament. It is derived from the word chero, which means to rejoice. This should give us a deeper understanding of grace. It is not just unmerited favor, but it's also a cause for rejoicing. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul wrote, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in me." Here Paul is rejoicing in his weakness because in his weakness, that's when God's grace is made perfect. This gives us a glimpse into the depth and the meaning of God's grace. It is not just a gift, but it's a cause for rejoicing. Fourthly is to share the gift of grace with others. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." Since we have received grace freely, we should give it freely to others. This is not just about sharing the gospel with others, but also about showing grace in our interactions with others. We should be channels of God's grace, extending it to all those around us. In James chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Humility is the key that we have to receiving the grace of God. When we remain humble to ourselves, when we acknowledge that we are not the authors of our salvation, but salvation being a gift of God. As we turn our attention to our final point, let's focus on the idea of growing in grace through acceptance. This is about receiving the gift of grace and allowing it to transform our lives. You see, we've said many times here, grace is a gift, and like any gift, it needs to be received. How do we receive grace? It's not a physical object that we can hold in our hands. It's not something that can be quantified or measured. Grace is a spiritual blessing, a divine favor that is bestowed upon us by God. To receive grace, we have to open our hearts first. We must surrender our will that we have. We must submit to God's authority. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, in his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." This passage highlights the importance of faith in receiving God's grace. It is through faith that we gain access to God's grace. You see, grace is not just to be received. It is a power to be unleashed. It is a force that changes us, that molds us, and shapes us into the image of Christ. C.S. Lewis once said, "God intends to give us what we need, not what we think we need." This quote tells us about the power of grace. It challenges our preconceived notions that we have. It reshapes our desires and aligns us with the will of God. You see, acceptance of grace is not about complacency. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Our weakness are not obstacles to grace, but conduits for it. Grace is not just a gift to be received, a power to be unleashed, or a reality to be accepted. It's a virtue to be reflected. It's a characteristic that should define us, shape us, and set us apart as followers of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This calls us to embody the virtues of compassion, of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, virtues that we must have to receive God's grace. Someone once used the acronym of GRACE to say that it was God's riches at Christ's expense. This morning, as we receive the gift of grace with open hearts, let us allow God's grace to transform us, to change us, to mold us into the image of Christ, to acknowledge our need for Him. And what I love so much about grace is it doesn't come to us when we are perfect and when we are clean, but that grace comes to us in the midst of our circumstances, no matter where we are. You see, here is why grace is a gift to all of us. This is who I was before Christ came into my soul. I am one who does evil constantly, Genesis chapter 6. I am one who is impure, Proverbs chapter 20. I am not righteous or good, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I am full of evil and madness, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I am full of wickedness, Psalm 58. I am rebellious, Isaiah 59. I am a person who loves darkness, John chapter 3. I am a slave to sin, John chapter 8 and Romans chapter 6. I am a child of the devil, John chapter 8. I do not understand, nor do I seek God. I am stiff-necked, and I have done no good, Romans chapter 2. I am without fear of God, Romans 3. I am an enemy of God, Romans chapter 5. I am hostile to God, Romans chapter 8. I am under the power of the evil one, 1 John chapter 5. You see, all of these things demonstrate to us we were born into being enemies against God. Grace is never obligated to us. God never owed us anything except hell. But through His grace, through the saving power of Jesus Christ, though we were born as sinners, we were born against God, we have this power through God's grace to accept Jesus Christ. Saving grace that we have is only through Jesus Christ. Apart from grace, there is no Christianity whatsoever. Grace distinguishes Christianity from every other religion because every other religion says you need to be a good person because God loves good people. But Christianity says you're not basically good and God doesn't treat you how you deserve. He is gracious to you and His grace changes you so that you can become good. Every other religion is all about works and how to work your way to get into heaven. But God says, all you have to do is accept me and I'm going to take care of the rest. Let us remember this morning the gift of grace that has been given to us. It's something that we could never earn or something that we could never repay, but it's a gift, pure and simple, from a God who loves us more than we could ever comprehend. God's grace is a testament to His love for us. It's His way of saying, I know you're not perfect, but I love you anyway. He says, I know you've messed up, but I'm here to pick you up. I know you can't do it on your own, but I'm here to help you. That's the kind of God that we serve, a God of love, mercy, and grace. So let's not take this grace for granted. Let's cherish it. Let's appreciate it. Let it transform us. Let it mold us into the image of Christ. So, and as we do, let us remember to extend the same grace that we've been given to others. Because just as we've been given grace, we are called to also give grace to others. Let us stand this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much this morning for the gift that you've given us of grace. We thank you, God, for loving us even when we don't deserve it. And Father, I pray that you would help us to grasp this gift that you've given us, God, that we would grow in it. Help us to extend your grace to other people around us. As we leave this place, God, may we carry your grace with us as a reflection of your love to the world that you've given to us. We thank you for grace. May we never abuse the grace that you've given us. May we walk in the path that you have bestowed for us. And as you've been giving us this grace, God, in our brokenness and in times when we absolutely didn't deserve it, as far as I'm concerned, we deserved hell. But through your grace and through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have a way of living forever. We just thank you this morning for your grace. Remind us, God, of the grace that you've given us so that we can extend it to other people around us, that they can see who you are through us. We thank you this morning, God. We praise you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to ask everybody in this building a question. As the old saying goes, where the rubber meets the road. If the death angel knocked on your door today, are you ready to go? If the rapture was to take place in the next 60 seconds, you say, well, Pastor, that's awful quick. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, the Son of Man is going to come again. 60 seconds, are you ready to go? Those that are watching, are you ready to go? Grace this morning has been extended and offered to everybody in this building and those that are watching. Paul made a comment that is so true. Grace is something that has offered to all. But the sad part about it is that many people turns their back and walks away. I think it was Agrippa that said, in a more convenient season, I'll consider following the Lord. Folks, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed. It's 11:45. You're not guaranteed 15 minutes from now. Instantly, you could be taken out or the rapture take place. Father, you know every heart that is in this building. You know every heart that those that are watching or will watch later on. And as Paul has done a fantastic job preaching about grace. Grace that has been extended to every human being. God, I pray this morning if there be anyone in this house or watching that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or God, maybe there may be someone here today that, Lord, that, Father, they're not sure where they stand with you. Because of grace, we can know without a doubt in our mind that we're ready to go. And I pray today, Lord, that people would call on the name of Jesus. For Lord God, your word said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That it's not your will that any should perish. Your word said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray today that, Lord, people would call on the name of the Lord. And they would know that they know that they know that they're ready to go. It's not about joining a local church. It's about knowing that they have joined the body of Christ. Their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God, we thank you for grace. We thank you, Lord, for that unmerited favor. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, every young person, every adult that is here today, where do you stand with God? If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Greg, remember me in prayer. remember me in prayer, that I would know that I know that I know that I'm ready to go, because there are things in my life I know that's not right. If that's you, just raise your hand. Put it back down. God bless that hand. Others that would say, remember me in prayer, Pastor Greg. I need to know that God is there. God bless that. Father, you've seen the hands. God, touch, speak, minister. God, that when people leave this place, they know they're ready to go. We thank you for it today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we worship you, Lord, with our giving, we pray that, God, that you would just touch each person, touch each gift that is brought today and placed in these offering plates. God, we bring them not to an organization, not to man, but, Lord, we bring these gifts to you. And, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Bring the tithe and your love gift unto the Lord this morning.